Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis, and this is the longest running. And do you know how long, Laurent?
23.
No.
No, I'm sorry, 27.
No.
30.
28 years of today.
As of today.
Oh, happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday
to us. This is our birthday, first week of August. And who went on the air the first week this station was on the air?
Us.
How many KNON shows are still on the air from that very first week the station went on the air?
Just us.
Us and the Grateful Dead Hour. So happy birthday, our 28th anniversary being on the air.
We need Jennifer to bring us cupcakes again.
We do.
Sprinkles.
Yes.
We do. So we are the longest running gay and lesbian radio show on anywhere in the world, as far as we know. So happy birthday to us. Our guest today is Candy Markham.
Hello.
And being such a long running gay and lesbian show, does that really make Laurent completely nuts or what?
Or what? It makes you nuts.
It does make you nuts sometimes. My notes were all the way on the other counter. Here they are. We have been doing this a long time.
A very long time.
Yeah.
And you never lose your enthusiasm,
David. No, because I love doing this.
Yes, and it shows. It really does in Laurent, too.
We must love doing this, because
it's early.
Those paychecks are so big.
Because I guess we have nothing else to do with ourselves or something like that. And do you know what's nice about being here this early in the morning?
No.
This time of year?
Yeah, please tell me.
It's not quite so hot out.
Yes, that's true.
But it's a dry heat. I've been driving everybody nuts coming into our office complaining about the heat. Oh, it's so hot out. Try this at home. When somebody complains, there's nothing better to drive them nuts than to tell them, but it's a dry heat.
Heat is heat.
No kidding.
So, yeah, today's supposed to be the hottest it's been. Candy is a counselor. She comes to visit us
quarterly,
and we just talk about different counseling topics. She's in private practice here in Oak Lawn. Let's talk about this heat. How does that affect people's relationships with who you work with and who you live with?
I think it absolutely impacts it. Anything that puts stress on you certainly reverberates through whatever system you're in, whether it's the workplace or your carpool or your partner, your family. It does impact you. And, when you're cool, calm, and collected, it's a better day than when you're hot and harried. And also, I think physically, I'm not a doctor, but, I get headaches. And I do not like to perspire. It's just, August in Dallas, there's nothing like it.
I guess you could say that.
Yes.
So what are some things that we can do about it? And I don't really mean cool down. I haven't even used my swimming pool. I put a thermometer in the swimming pool the other day, and the water's 92 degrees.
It's now a hot tub.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I think is really important? An acronym that they use in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called HALT, H-A-L-T. So if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, chances are you may want to drink. All right? So if you're any of those, plus hot, we'll put hot on there. Hot, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You need to count to 10. You need to kind of gather yourself back up again. I think you need to give your coworkers and your family a break. Maybe they're irritable also. And also, I just think you need to stay hydrated. Lots and lots and lots of water.
Mm-hmm. To do what you can to stay healthy.
Absolutely. And to cool yourself. That's our radiator system, mm-hmm. is water. I think we're like 97% water or something, and we need to keep that going.
Mm-hmm. I also bring extra fruit with me to the office.
I think that's a great thing.
Eating grapes and mm-hmm. things like that, it just keeps me hydrated. And it's it's more than just drinking water. Drinking water can get boring. And stay comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Stay comfortable and understand everybody else's. But I just have this thing where Oh, is it? I love irritating people, but it's a dry heat.
I can see where that would get on people's nerves, yes. Can't you? Yeah. Yes. That's good, David.
But actually, then everybody just laughs. It's like, oh, yeah, David's just trying to irritate us. Yes, I am. It's just what I do. Let's talk about a couple of current event type things, okay, and how these are going to affect people. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is coming to an end on September 20th. They finally signed the certification on August 20th and coming to an end. And we know the effect that it's going to have on gay people. It's going to allow them, or do we? Let's talk about that first. Why does it make a difference when you're doing something like military service to be able to serve openly? And I mean from a psychological point of view. Yeah.
You know, there's a saying in Canada that says, backs together against the wolves, right? So the last thing you need to do is be worrying about, you know, does this guy have my back? Can I just relax and think about the enemy and not me and not who's going to know about me? So it's something about authenticity helping you, you know, be centered and be who you are. On top of that, people like to have pictures up of their families. It's nice to be able to talk about that you have a partner or that you had a really nice date the other night. It's very helpful to be able to be authentic, and I think gay people are just as moral as anyone else, and they want to be able to be who they are and be authentic and be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is it going to affect other people?
Well, you know, when you brought this up earlier, David, I was thinking about when blacks were able to serve in the military, mm-hmm, when women were able to serve in the military, and it was not like a switch was turned and everything was hunky-dory. I think people still need to be aware that this is something that's going to take some time to acclimate. Mm-hmm. And not only, you know, folks who think they've never known a gay person and have a skewed view of what gay people are, but also gay people need to have time to acclimate to it, too. So I think it will, you know, time will tell. I think it's a really correct thing to do. I would say people who are biased will hang on to that. People who are not knowing, I don't want to say ignorant, that sounds so negative, mm-hmm, but who just maybe don't know, and then they're exposed to someone who's gay or lesbian, and they're like, well, you know, we have more in common than we have differences. And I think that will impact those people, and I think it will reverberate into those people's systems, too.
Let's go back to how it might affect gay people in the military. Mm-hmm. I think there's this assumption that now when the ban is officially lifted, that everybody thinks that all gay people are just going to come out. I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, just me personally, I think I would be very cautious.
Yeah, I still would be cautious.
And I think you should be a little cautious. And I think, you know, it depends on your rank. Let's say you're way up there. That may be different than someone who's, you know, a private. Mm-hmm. As in anything, when you are a minority, I think you test the waters.
You know, that's one of the things whenever I'm talking to, like, kids at Youth First Texas about coming out, one of the things I always say to them, and they would expect me to be the one to say, oh, yeah, come out and be... And I always say, be safe.
Yes.
Yeah. Number one thing, be safe.
Uh-huh. And that means take a reading of how it's going, and it may be better in one platoon than another, or in one barracks than another. It just, you know, just take a reading. See if you're safe.
Because that's, we do that... Those of us who are not in the military, we do that in new jobs, in everyday civilian life, because we don't have workplace protection. At least here in Texas, we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we can still be fired for being gay or lesbian. And so you get a new job, you kind of test the waters to see what the environment's like, then you decide to come out. At least that's how I've always operated. So
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
And in the military, while we think of it being this one big monolithic thing, and they do have rules and regulations... which govern everybody, it isn't a monolithic thing. We know that there have been more Don't Ask, Don't Tell dismissals from certain bases than certain others, from certain branches than certain others.
There have been more incidents as far as gay bashings in the military in certain areas than other areas.
Sure. So your advice really is not just know what the policy is, and sure, you might be safe from being dismissed, but you might not be safe from those interpersonal.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Take your time with it. Take a reading. Be smart. And I think, you know, our brave men and women in the military are smart.
Mm-hmm.
And do what is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when you brought this up this morning, too, I was remembering when we founded the Oak Lawn Counseling Center in 1981. If any of y'all were born then, I was just 12. But at any rate, one of my first clients was a female who was discharged from the Army for being lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like somewhere between 81 and 83. I can't remember exactly when it was. But, I mean, there was no recourse. That was it. It was a dishonorable discharge, and she was to go on with her life. That's a tough thing
mm-hmm.
to do. So, you know, what we can see now is that our brethren, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender brethren, are protected from that dishonorable discharge for being gay. But it's just like anything else, you can find another way to maybe discharge someone. So just, you know, be cautious. And how it looks today will be different than how it looks next month and next year. Mm-hmm. And let's just see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, all studies show from every other military that allows gays and lesbians to serve, and there are 20 or 30 other countries.
Canada's had it forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It shows that, first of all, the best way to come out is to, or to institute the policy, is do it quick.
Uh-huh.
You pass it, just
go on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which we didn't do.
No.
And the second thing is that once gays and lesbians are serving, there's no big deal. We're going to save a lot of money because each dismissal cost, the GAO is estimating $52,000. Service members, Legal Defense Network is estimating that it was possibly twice that mm-hmm. cost, especially in certain dismissals. But what all these studies show is that really in the long run, it's a big nothing.
Yes.
But in some countries, there isn't that institutionalized homophobia that we have here in this country. And some countries that are smaller, there are lots of countries where people are coming from a much smaller area than just one of our medium-sized states.
Uh-huh.
So you're not coming from, you know, you have one person from Oregon who's put together with somebody from Florida, and that's more than 3,000 miles apart. You have people coming from 100 miles apart.
You know, it must be a wonderful experience to be in the military and be exposed to people of different races, different religions, different parts of the country. It's a very rich experience, I would think, and I think that, you know, this will just add to that richness.
And you're saying that as somebody who enjoys that kind of thing.
Yeah, the diversity.
But how many
yeah.
religions and how many people teach that those are bad things? That, ooh, that person is a different religion than we are.
People are afraid of differences.
Yeah.
People are afraid of people who are too different from them. And I don't know if they're afraid of that they're going to change that way, that, you know, I'm Baptist, now I'm going to be Methodist, or whatever that is. But it's just such a rich experience. And you get to hang on to whatever it is that you believe, but to learn about different people. And what you learn is that we have much more in common than we do differences.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, homosexuality is not catching, and Methodism is not catching.
And do you think that that's what it is with a lot of people who preach that kind of distrust of people who are different than we are, that they're just so afraid that, oh, I might catch some of that, but it's not just that I'm going to catch that, I'm going to lose who I am.
Right, I'm going to lose my moral compass. I'm going to lose, you know, what makes me a good person. I'm going to be influenced to the dark side and lose the goodness that I have. And you can't lose that. You can't lose goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there.
Okay. Good. With Don't Ask, Don't Tell, one of the things that I think is going to be a major difference is not just people meeting and mingling and, you know, we've learned in the armed forces that men and women can work together. Mm-hmm. We've learned that people of different races can work together, that people of different religions can work together. And the armed forces used to be very segregated where people
yes.
did not work together, but we found out that they work together just fine because, like you said, people are the same. But afterwards, people are going to bring these things home. Now, some people do end up, you know, going into the armed forces and saying, hey, I just don't want to go back to rural Mississippi. I think I will move to another place. And probably that is something that especially more rural places do fear, that they'll lose their population, they'll lose the education that they're getting and what they're going to contribute. But most do go home.
Yes.
And what are they going to carry with them, having served with gay people?
Hopefully a more open attitude, just kind of like what we're talking about, is that, you know, I bunked with someone who was Jewish, or I bunked with someone who was Asian, or I bunked with someone who was gay. And, you know, we have more in common mm-hmm. than we don't. And I think that's, you know, in World War II, they had that song, How You Gonna Keep Them Down on the Farm, mm-hmm. once they see Perry. You know, it is interesting that I think, you know, people go two ways. One is your point of view is expanded and opened, and you want more, and so maybe you go to a bigger city. And for some people, it's like, you know, I want to go back home and take care of the family business. I like the pace of that. So it will spread wherever people go. It's interesting. And I think there have been studies that show that in a metropolitan area, people are more progressive than just outside of that metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why what that's about, except maybe living in close quarters and having to get along with folks and learning about it.
You're kind of forced to get along.
Mm-hmm. And learning about differences and that it's not so different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk about several other different things. Laurent, you need to get to work this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Laurent hates the schedule because he has to leave the studio to run across the street to the... You're taking DART?
Always.
Which is running slow because the tracks are so hot, they're worried about the tracks warping.
But really?
Oh, yeah, the trains are running slowly to make sure that they don't jump off the tracks.
God.
Fortunately, no problems with that yet. TRA, I think, is having more trouble because the tracks were... they registered them at over 150 degrees on the track.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. We're really enjoying this heat, so Laurent.
But it's dry heat.
It is.
No, not you.
Try it at your office today.
Okay.
Absolutely, everybody. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, our 28th birthday. Happy birthday to KNON and to Lambda Weekly. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Dallas County Department of Health and Human Services is offering air conditioners to low-income residents without air conditioning, particularly the elderly and disabled. More information is available through the department at 214-819-6001. The county also offers low-income residents bill payment assistance. 214-819-6001 for more information.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERImaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
All right, Dolly Parton has issued an apology to a lesbian couple after one of the women was asked to reverse her T-shirt that said marriage is so gay during their visit at Dollywood. Now, the employee who asked her to turn her shirt around said that they did so because it was not to offend the delicate eyeballs of fellow family parkgoers at Dollywood. In her statement, Dolly Parton said that she was truly sorry and for the hurt or embarrassment regarding the T-shirt, and that everybody knows her personal support for the gay and lesbian community. Dollywood is a family park for all families, and they are all welcome.
You know, it's interesting. We reported that on Dallas Voice, and then we get linked into by some right-wing websites, you know, not your usual just the gay websites, but so we get the other side to come on. And people were offended that Dolly would have apologized, which I think is interesting. What Dolly did was, since her name is on, you know, it's over the door.
Park.
Right.
Yeah.
And she is an owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't do it. You know, they said, well, she didn't do this. Why should she be apologizing? Because it's her name there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the thing that struck me from that story that stood out to me is that these were two gals with a child, and I'm not sure that both of them were parents of the child, but nonetheless, they were there with children and other parents. And when the gal was asked to turn her T-shirt inside out, she did it. She did it. I loved that. To me, that showed a lot of mental health, in that she didn't have to throw a snit fit, she didn't have to make a scene, but she followed up with it and went on with it, and I just loved her style. That's what I want to say. It was sane. It, you know, because it just makes my blood boil to hear that story. I just have to say that.
Well, the one a spokesman for
she was more worried about how the kids would
she stayed in character.
The spokesman for Dollywood said that it is the dress code policy that whenever they see offensive clothing or tattoos, they ask their people to cover it up. But I just want to know what was offensive about the shirt. I have one of those shirts, and I've worn it out in public. And you do get a lot of looks because people are kind of like, they don't really get it. But I don't know what's offensive about it. It just says marriage is so gay. I don't know what's offensive about that.
You know, when I worked at the Oaklawn Counseling Center and folks started coming in to see us, we needed another counselor. And so I called one of the newspapers, and I can't remember. There were two at the time, which one it was. Might have been the Dallas Morning News or the Times Herald. And put an ad in the paper for a gay counselor. I could not use the word gay.
Right.
They would
really?
Not let me use the word. That's how old I am. They would not let me use the word gay. And so what we had to do was put alternative lifestyle counselor.
See, now that I don't like.
But it's the word gay.
It's the word gay.
On the T-shirt that they didn't like. I mean, it's alive and well today, as it was back in 83 when we were trying to hire a counselor.
Isn't that interesting, though, that
it's still with us.
It's still with us. Yeah. Wow.
Like, you know, like it's a curse word or something.
Right. Yeah, just like it. Well, there's no vulgarity on the T-shirt.
It's just recently that a court decided that somebody who was suing for defamation because he had been called gay, the judge threw the suit out and said there's nothing offensive about being called gay.
Absolutely.
You know, it would be like if, you know, Candy, I called you Catholic.
Oh my God.
Well, it's not offensive. You might not like that. That label, but or it might not be what you are, but it's not an offensive label.
Nothing derogatory about it. A big congratulations goes out to Dennis O'Hare and his partners. They tied the knot last week in New York. O'Hare, he's the actor best known right now probably for his role as Vampire King Russell Edgerton on the vampire show True Blood. Dennis says that he and his now husband have been together for 10 years. They have a great amount of respect for each other, so rarely do they descend into any kind of disrespectful sniping. So would you say that's the key to a good relationship, having good respect?
Absolutely, and then bites on the neck.
I love that.
That was a vampire joke.
So, Laurent, you and I couldn't have a good relationship.
There's the sniping. Yeah. Mo Rocca, the writer, comedian, and
Mo Rocca.
Yeah, the political satirist who with an unmistakably nasally voice. And he's a contributor on The Daily Show. He's a panelist on the NPR game show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, has come out.
What a shock.
I know. I thought he was already out. And so in a podcast interview, he says that he's just more comfortable with himself now, and it's taken him 42 years to begin to feel this way. He said that he was standing on the outside of the Stonewall Inn when the marriage equality bill passed. It was very memorable, very emotional, and a great place to be. And I guess that's kind of what was the... would kick them into coming out.
The catalyst.
But again, I thought he was already out.
Yeah, I never occurred to me that he wasn't.
You know, maybe he thought he came across as eccentric instead of campy.
Maybe.
You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine. I needed some quotes for something that I'm doing, and it had to do with, it was like kind of like It Gets Better type quotes that I was looking for some people. And she said, you know, I didn't come out till I was 30, and then when I did, everybody looked at me. Everybody I told looked at me and said, really? You weren't out before?
Well, see, this goes back to the conversation that you, myself and Patty have had about what deems coming out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You actually have to say it.
No, but she had really just come out.
As opposed to everyone
out,
are assuming that you
out
are.
She was to herself for the first time.
Wow.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking with Morocco. Maybe he really didn't know.
I mean, what is your take on it? Do you have to say the words?
Here's my take on it. This is what I tell folks. That until you want to tell me who you are, then... You are what you say that you are. I'm not saying this very clearly. There are some people that may live a gay lifestyle but do not call themselves gay.
Mm-hmm.
They may call themselves straight, but I happen to be in love with someone of the same gender. So to me, they are straight. I just take my cue from them. Now, I can't help but be human and notice that Morocco is a little light in the loafers. But, it is kind of surprising that he hasn't come out. But,
right.
You know, if you knew him, then you would know, no, he hasn't come out, and he's eccentric.
And I guess I kind of figured, well, just in his personal life, he doesn't make a big deal about
it. He doesn't,
But I just figured he'd been out for years, and that's the end of it.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Mo.
No kidding.
Yeah. And last, actor Adam Sandler says that he's toying around with the possibility of revamping the 1987 hit film Three Men and a Baby. Only this time, in Adam's version, the three men will all be gay. Furthermore, he already has a cast in mind for the movie, and it includes Chris Rock, Rob Schneider, and David Spade. Boy, this is going to be some film. Adam's last film with a gay subject matter was I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which most critics detested. Yet the film raked in almost $185 million, making it one of 2007's highest grossing films.
He's another one, though,
wow,
that I've heard stories about for years, but he's never come out.
I've never heard
Adam
that
Sandler.
Yeah. I just assumed he was straight.
Yeah, he, not that it means anything, but he is married to a woman. I just think he's really gay friendly,
and that could be, and
yeah,
just completely comfortable with it, that with who he is, and has lots of gay friends.
So what, you know, this brings up a question: why is it so important to gay folks that people come out, that people be who, you know, say that they're gay, and sometimes we out other people? I think as a minority,
we want more people to know that there's more of us out there. See, he's one of us.
I mean, does that validate us as a person, or?
Maybe.
Not necessarily. But maybe. Maybe it does to some people.
Yeah, to some people.
Oh, it's not just me.
I'm not so strange. It's not.
Here's a really important person that's like me.
Yeah, yeah. I think with somebody like when Ellen came out, I think that was just very important because it was so well done. And because she had been a character on a show that people had been watching already for 4 years, when she came out in the fifth year of her show, and the show was, first of all, so funny, it was the best written show of the entire series.
It was hilarious when she came out.
Well done.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the funniest episode ever?
It really was.
I love that episode.
But when she came out and she was already somebody that people liked, that was very important to the community. But with somebody like Mo Rocca coming out, do I really think that that's important or not? I'm just saying, I always thought he was out and didn't make a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that one's an important one. I just think it's interesting that he's just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, because especially in Dallas, where we have such a strong gay and lesbian community, I think it's very important that we're out there and presenting ourselves as gay so that people who... You know, LaRon, you never had a problem telling your parents that you were black. Right? Okay. But most people do have a problem telling their parents that they're gay.
Yes.
Right.
Because the parents are not gay.
Right.
He's you know, a minority of parents who are the same minority as African-American.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But when you're gay, chances are pretty high that your parents are not gay.
Right. Well, and I think it's also that non-biological kinship. We want, again, someone to say, hey, okay, they're part of my community, and look what he or she has accomplished. See, we're everywhere. And it, on the black thing, I remember when, you know, Tiger Woods really, you know, hit the scene and kind of made it big. Even though he's half black and half Asian, there was a little controversy with an African-American community because he just didn't claim that he was only black. And because I think they wanted that kinship. He's one of us.
Yes.
And, you know, he's the only...
And made good.
And made mm-hmm. good, you know. So I think that's probably what it is in the gay and lesbian community.
The other thing is when somebody who's successful comes out, mm-hmm. the stereotype of somebody who's gay is... There are all kinds of terrible stereotypes out there. And hopefully
Absolutely.
A lot of those have gone away. But, you know... There just aren't good stereotypes. So when somebody comes out who is successful, you can hold that person up.
Especially a gay football player, a gay professional football player.
Yes.
That, you know, it's like, yes, he's one of us.
Mm-hmm.
See, we are
See,
everywhere.
It validates us. It's almost the same thing as, you know, he's from my hometown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or that guy's from Texas. There's something about it. It gives you pride.
Mm-hmm.
That person somehow has a, what you call a kinship mm-hmm. with you. It does. It gives you pride and kind of validates that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because forever we've heard we're not okay.
Right.
Or I'm not the only one. See, I'm not the only
yes,
one.
Yes, it wasn't a glitch or a mistake or a, you know,
right.
a malfunction. You know, God did make gay people.
Well, and the idea that, you know, it's your parents' fault. And,
yes.
and parents who feel guilty about their kids being, well, there's nothing to be guilty about. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
But it's interesting, you know.
Yeah. So, which, this might be one of my bad segues, but does that have something to do with Imago Theory? We had talked about several topics before. But
that was a bad segue.
No, but it isn't. Because Imago, you said, is okay. Imago is Latin for
Latin
image.
Latin for image. It's a theory.
But isn't that imaging yourself against somebody who's famous? Not somebody who you're going to have a relationship with, but somebody who's famous.
Right.
So
right.
Is that part of this, that... Yeah, I want to have some good models out there to image myself against.
Well, I think because there was so much negativity
mm-hmm.
About, you know, forever, the word was homosexuality. You didn't even have the word gay. You had lesbian,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't have gay. And so to be able to say to someone, a person has done well and made something of themselves, even though they have the same stigma that I have, you know, I think that helps. The Imago Theory really has more to do with kind of the laws of attraction.
Oh, okay.
Why we are attracted to the people we are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I say more about that?
Sure.
Okay. Because I am a relationship counselor, it is interesting to have a theory from which to make sense of why people choose the people they choose. And imago is a Latin word that stands for image. And if you've ever noticed when you see someone, you'll know right away, I'm going to like that person or I'm not going to like that person. And we're right. We either like them or we don't.
I mean, usually people don't see somebody and I don't really like them, but all of a sudden or after a while you grow to like them. That usually doesn't happen.
Well, how that happens a lot of times is there's a strong reaction that I'm not going to like them, and then there's a strong attraction, which is, you know, kind of like the little boy putting the girl's pigtails in the inkwell. But usually, we're usually right. You
it's
know,
more
that
likely love at first sight is actually more.
It's real.
More the case.
Yes, it is real. And what's interesting, too, is that the person to whom we are attracted is attracted to us, too. So, it's, I mean, that's so convenient, I think. So that, you know, who we're attracted to is attracted back. Excuse me. And what it's about is it's a very unconscious situation that's going on. And so what I try to do as a counselor is bring that up to a conscious level and let the person think, so what is the attraction? What do I like about that person? And I'll ask them, what did you see when you first saw that person?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw someone with a beautiful smile. Or I saw someone who had a lot of friends. Or I saw someone who was kind of quiet. And then I'll ask them, which one of your parents is that way? Oh, well, mother's that way. Mm-hmm. Or daddy's that way. And what it is that we recognize this person, this personality, as someone that we have a lot of feelings for. And they recognize us as their person, too. And so it's about getting the love we did not get as a child. And, of course, unfortunately, we choose the same person that, you know, reared us, and we struggle for getting the love the way we think we should be getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that theory is about, and I teach that, and it's interesting to folks, and it helps them bring it up to a conscious level that, yes, I like outgoing people, or, yes, I like quiet people.
Mm-hmm. You know, a good example of marrying your parents, my father's second wife, after my mother died when I was about 21, 22, and a couple of years later, he met Anne, and Anne drove us all nuts. However,
she talked about dry heat.
However, so did his mother drive us all nuts.
Oh.
But I took two pictures of them side by side, and if I were to show them to you, you would go, well, are they sisters? Are they? I even did that. We were on the way to the wedding, and I had two pictures, and I showed his brother. And his brother looked and said, oh, my God, I can't believe that. He said, you're right. He's marrying my mother.
What did your brother's wife look like? Your uncle's wife look like?
Not like my grandmother.
See, one might have married mother and one might have married daddy. Which happens.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting theory, I think, you know, and it was developed by someone in Texas. I just want to say that, Texas. And I can see it happening in today's way to meet people over the internet. You can recognize someone in their writing, in their profile, without seeing a picture. You can recognize someone on the telephone, their voice, without seeing a picture, and know that you're going to like that person or not like that person.
And what is it that you're recognizing? Do we even know?
Well, you do if you bring it up to the conscious level. It's familiarity.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going to like that person.
And even if you're just writing something, you're noticing something about
that personality comes out. A personality comes out in more ways than just visually. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Uh-huh. That is interesting. Yeah. We need to take a break. We're talking to Candy Markham. She's a Dallas, Oaklawn area counselor. Candy's with us quarterly, and usually you're with us pledge drive, and pledge drive fell funny this year. Our pledge drive will start next week, but always happy to have hour with you. We'll
thank
be back
you.
With more with Candy right after this.
KNON 89.3 FM is broadcasting Democracy Now!, a national daily radio news program covering today's news and issues. Democracy Now! Is hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, broadcast worldwide on over 900 stations, pioneering the largest community media collaboration in the country. Democracy Now! Can be heard on KNON Mondays through Thursdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Not the same old news heard everywhere else. It's news of the people for the people. Democracy Now!, Monday through Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on KNON 89.3 FM.
When the moon hits your eye like a big a pizza pie, that's amore.
Again, a winner, thanks Amico's Pizza and Pasta for the support of Community Radio, heard on 89.3 FM. Amico's Pizza and Pasta is open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And Friday and Saturday, they're open from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Owned and hosted by Steve Campisi. Amico's Pizza and Pasta is located at 4032 Cedar Springs in Dallas. They offer carryout, catering, delivery, and pizza by the slice. Amico's features pizza of all kinds, spaghetti, ravioli, lasagna, fettuccine, alfredo, salad, sandwiches, tacos, cheesecake, and more. For more information on Amico's Pizza and Pasta, 214-520-1331. Once again, 214-520-1331.
Walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taft here in the studio with Candy Markham. And during our break, Doc, our official audience, he does some technical work here. He brought up a wonderful question. Ask that, Doc.
Oh, ask the question? Our question is, how do we answer the question in the song Fiddler of the Roof that's, do you love me, on arranged marriages?
You know, I think that's a great question. This is the second time that that has come to me in like 2 days. So whenever I hear something twice, I'll probably hear it a third time. It's very unique, but I had a client who said something about that, who sang that song, and I forgot what we were talking about, but he wanted to know, you know, did his partner really love him? And I said, now you're quoting a song from a musical that's about arranged marriages. And he went, oh, I don't know my musicals very well. But let's answer that. I think that's a good question. There are lots and lots of probably real life stories, stories in literature, musicals about arranged marriages and how they don't work. An example, another musical is The King and I. Love trumps arranged marriages, let me tell you. Attraction is just a basic human experience, and now what we're saying is that it is based on familiarity with a certain personality. But I think what can happen is that when two people are put together, I think they can learn to love each other, without a doubt. I think they can do that. If you're, you know, on an island with someone, you know, you're going to learn to appreciate that person. But as far as the attraction that I'm talking about, it really is about of the people around me. There are certain people that I like more than others romantically. And there'll be people that we like more than others as friends. What will happen is, the people whose personalities are more similar to us, to our personalities, will become friends. Mm-hmm. It's usually the complementary personality that becomes a romantic interest. So if you're outgoing, I'm a little bit outgoing, you've met my partner, she's quiet. Mm-hmm. All right?
And you're not?
And my friends are a little more outgoing, and their partners are quiet. Mm-hmm. I don't mean quiet like, you know, mute, but
not,
quieter.
Your partner's not shy and... She's a wonderful person.
Yes, yeah. Yes, she is. And shy people are wonderful people. But the point being is that we really do have an attraction mm-hmm. to a certain personalities. And what is that about? Mm-hmm. And usually it's about one of our parents. So, but I do believe that there are some arranged marriages that can work out. I mean, there's history of that. But there's lots of history of people risking life and limb to be with the person that they're really attracted to romantically. Mm-hmm.
And to get out of those relationships.
Yes, yes. They come to America, land of the free.
Why have a relationship?
You know, I think that's a great question. I wrote that down for you, and I thought, well, you know, I should Google that. But I thought, well, I'll just come up with my own. And the first thing that comes,
you had an answer, wouldn't
you? The first thing that comes up for me is that it's companionship. Mm-hmm. It's to have your person. That is my person. I am their person. It's someone that we connect with regularly, sometimes during the day, you know, regularly, but certainly every day. You wake up with them, you have dinner with them, you go to bed together. It really is a very close relationship, and you will see that all living things have relationships like that. You know, people are social. We're social animals. But it is about the romantic interest. So why have one? So it's almost like we can't not have one. If you don't have a relationship, let's say that you're in a religious order that you are not supposed to have a relationship, that is a sort of a penance or something that you do for God. It's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's more natural and easy to have a relationship. Now, I say that I'm talking to a man who's single, but it doesn't mean that you don't date and you don't have relationships. So there are many people, though, who do not have relationships, and so what is that about? Mm-hmm. And I think it's risky. It's risky to have a relationship. I will guarantee you that you will get hurt in a relationship, maybe not on purpose, not because you've chosen the wrong person or that person is mean to you, but because you become vulnerable with that person, and they know all about you. They know all, you know, they know what buttons to push and where the bruises are, and you get close to another person, and maybe they leave, or they get, you know, they break up with you, or they get sick and they die. I mean, It is risky, but it is worth the risk.
Mm-hmm. What are the reasons to get out of that relationship then? Because so many relationships don't last.
You know, half of relationships don't last. Half of all marriages do not last, and 2/3 of all second marriages do not last. So, you know, why is that? Why is it so high? I think it is difficult to remain a me within an us. I think it is difficult to hold on to your autonomy. I think the fear of losing myself in that person, or that person is just too close to me. Either way, I think it's difficult for people. I think there are three reasons to break up with someone. And none of them have to do with I don't love them anymore. Sometimes we have to break up with someone we do love. So sometimes I'll hear people say, but I still love them. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, but they're beating the heck out of you. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if it's a danger to you physically, the relationship, if it's a danger to you emotionally, they continue to put you down, they continue to tell you that your thinking is skewed or wrong, that you're depressed, that you can't sleep for the anxiety. So if it's a danger to you emotionally, and if it's a danger to you financially, if you find that you have gone into great debt for this person, those are three reasons, I think, to look at getting out of that relationship.
And when you say danger to you financially, you're not talking necessarily about somebody who, I've finished school now, I'm working, have a good job, I can afford to put you through school. Well, that's putting me in some debt, but that's an investment.
You know, some debt, don't we all have that, is... you know, moderate. Anything that's moderate, mm-hmm. I think, is okay. But there are people who will assume other people's debts and have to declare bankruptcy themselves. They may have someone in their life who is using their credit card and refusing to stop using it, maybe stealing money from them, and they let that go on to when it is a danger for them financially. Mm-hmm. They are totally upside down financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're talking really, you're not talking about people helping each other financially, you're talking about people who are hurting each other financially.
Yes, and you know, if I were going to write a book about relationships, I would entitle it Romance and Finance. Mm-hmm. I think those are two huge issues for people. And here's how I see the difference between a friend and a partner. If you share housing with a friend, chances are you split it right down the middle, 50-50. Okay? With a partner, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's looked at, if I make more than you do, then maybe we'll split it 60-40 mm-hmm. or 70-30 because you love that person.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense
to
me.
You're putting your percentage into the relationship is separate from what you earn. And if I earn 70%, you earn 30%, then that's what we contribute
to
the household.
That is fair. But with a friend, what is fair is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know you've got a romantic interest rather than a roommate,
mm-hmm.
you know.
The other two dangers, you said, were physically and emotionally.
Yes.
Emotionally, sometimes you can fix or no?
Again, it's about moderation. It's about the extent to it. But I have seen people where they are so dominated by their partner, they have no self-esteem left. The partner is maybe someone who doesn't work. The client that I'm seeing, she works, she takes care of everything, and when she comes home, he makes her give her the paycheck because you just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to make decisions. And she lets him do that. And then it's, you know, you can never leave me. It's really about domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
but there's no hitting. There's no shoving, but it's emotional domestic abuse.
Okay.
Does that make more sense?
Yes, yes. And I guess the type of thing I was thinking of was more just emotional put-downs. Not to take the financial part out of it, but more emotional put-downs. Sometimes you can work in a relationship that way. I guess it depends on what the extent is.
It does depend on what the extent is. If when I'm working with someone, they may say, I wouldn't talk to her that way. I wouldn't say the things to her she says to me. And I would say, well, how can you say to her, I cannot tolerate the way you talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am better than whatever it is you're wanting me to be. If they can do that and the other person listens, well, then, you know, that's mm-hmm. therapy. That's counseling. That's what I do all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say the other person is not willing to do that. They don't want to play that way. It is about me dominating you. And the way I can do that is to make you feel bad about yourself.
Mm. Then those aren't two people who are working on their relationship. Those are two people who
you're in a domestic abuse relationship.
And then, of course, the last one, which is physically, that can rarely be fixed through any sort of counseling.
You know, I don't think so. I think it's a very, very difficult thing. I am a marriage and family therapist, and part of our ethics is that when someone comes in that's in a domestic violence physical relationship, that you ask them to leave,
mm-hmm.
that you do not treat the marriage, that you help them separate.
Okay. So what does a healthy relationship actually look like? It doesn't look like everything is fine and rosy and everything is perfect all the time, but it doesn't look like these things that you've just described either.
Right. And sometimes I'll have people come in who say, we never fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, being a smart aleck that I am, I say, well, you must never talk. Are you talking about things? I mean, there's conflict in life. There's conflict in relationships. That's all right.
People have moods.
Yes.
It gets hot outside.
But it's a dry heat.
Yeah. And they get annoyed at you for saying that.
So conflict is not a bad thing.
Right.
Conflict in relationships, it's life. That's mm-hmm. what happens. I do worry about couples who say we don't fight. Because I'm thinking you're not talking, you're not communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So what a good relationship is, the way that I describe it, is that you are more of who you would be with that person than without that person. And by that I mean you have the foundation to do more or be more than you ever would have been, you know, without that person.
You complement each other in ways that
you add to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are all these songs, country western songs and rock songs about, you know, I was half a person and then mm-hmm. I found you. And, you know, You complete me and you make me whole. I'm just thinking, oh, that's just so sick. Mm-hmm. Because you need to be complete and whole, and then another complete and whole person meets you. Mm-hmm. And so instead of 1 and 1 equals 2, it's 1 and 1 equals 3.
Right.
You are more than what you would be.
Right, and why would somebody be attracted to a half a person unless they wanted to go into one of those abusive relationships?
Absolutely. Or, it doesn't have to be abusive, it could be, this person will be so appreciative of me, they will never leave me.
Of course that's not healthy either, or healthy at all. So, what are some of the signs that you should look for that your relationship either is or is not healthy? I'm not looking specifically for is not, but what are some of the things that you should look for as, oh gee, you know, that happened, but that really was healthy?
You know, I think a good example, certainly a crisis puts a lot of pressure on a relationship, and if you make it through the crisis together, and that could be loss of a job, loss of health, a move. My partner and I moved after 30 years, and we did great. It was just like, wow, we're a team. It was surprising. But everyday things, getting through everyday things, enjoying the end of the day where you get to sit and talk with your partner. A relationship can have moments of conflict, but by and large, it needs to feel very easy, and it needs to feel loving and fulfilling.
And Candy, we're out of time.
Oh, no, I have so much more to say.
Well, you'll be back first week in November.
Oh, okay. Good.
And that should be Pledge Drive. But Candy will be back with us again. Thank you so much for being with us. This is the part of our show where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. And we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.
Thank you for listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.